Welcome to Family by Design, a weekly radio program brought to you by Wellspring Christian Family Schools, the education ministry of WCF Church, located in Sebillesville, Maryland. We hope that today, in some way, we will help you to treasure God's design for your family.
Because the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.
Do you struggle with fear or anxiety as a homeschool parent? Are you worried about your kids, worried about the future? Well, you're not alone if you struggle with those things. And today we have a very special message from a homeschool mom, a homeschool veteran, as she shares how she has learned to overcome fear, to have freedom from fear. Linda Peeler is the wife of pastor and evangelist Chris Peeler, who we heard on the broadcast just a few weeks ago. And Linda shared a message at the 2019 Family Leadership Conference with our moms and daughters, actually at our ladies' tea that we have every year. She shared a message called Freedom from Fear. And we're going to listen to the first part of that message today. This is a very personal message, as Linda shares from her own experiences, and you're going to be impacted and hopefully encouraged in a unique way. So let's listen to Linda as she gives us the first part of Freedom from Fear.
Doesn't that give you a thrill? We have invited ladies of all ages, and we're so glad. I'm especially glad that it's all ages. Welcome again. Now, today, I want you to think for just a moment about where you are. And I want you to think who's with you. And I want you to practice gratitude that right here in our midst, right here in our midst, we have these people we love, we have each other, and we have with us the Holy Spirit Himself. He's here to convict us. He's here to encourage us. He's here to calm us down. Anybody here feel a bit frazzled? He's here to calm us down. And He is also here sending us good and perfect gifts. And one of the gifts He sent you today and me is the gift of a very special instrument of His ministry in life. And it is our own Linda Peeler. She has come today to share with you. And I'm pleading with you before she comes. Are you listening to me? I'm pleading with you that while she's speaking, the entire room is wrapped right toward her, and that we can get rid of like the feeling of rushed and pell-mell and mixed up, and we can have this feeling of the awesome privilege we have because God has chosen to meet with us. He has chosen to call this group together right now. You hear from all the distance you've come, and you hear with young children, and He has brought us together for this moment. He has brought us together because He has a special message for us, and He has chosen Linda to be the one who brings that message, and we have chosen to be here to receive it. Let's pray before we begin right now. Father, we want to receive your message. We come before you bowing down our hearts and beings that we might receive you. We pray, Father, that you would calm our hearts, that we could hear the very words that you've given Linda to tell us. And we pray, Lord, that as we come into this fellowship, we come with an open heart and an open mind. And as we leave this fellowship, Father, we pray that we will go far more enriched than we entered. And we thank you for sending Linda to lead us in this. We pray this, Father, for your own name's sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, Linda.
It is a unique privilege to be introduced by Miss Becky. You all are so beautiful. I love women. I love us. I love how we reflect the glory and the image of God in a way that only we can do. I love it, and I love being here. I'm excited. I feel like I have a word from the Lord for you. And so I really appreciate what Becky had to say, because I really want you to lean in, not to me, but I really want you to lean in to what God might have for you. And I've spoken enough to know that however many people there are in this room, God might speak very individually in that many ways, because God's God. And I know that he's got something for you. We've been praying for you. I'm trusting that God is going to pour his spirit out. And so please track with me as we move on. First thing I want to do is hand out books. I've only got three. They're the very same one, because I didn't want to make a whole lot of introductions with books. We gave this book out to 53 young people who came to our house for 5 days a couple weeks ago when we opened up our home for Reach. A lot of you are familiar with that. Teaching young people, 14 up to in their 30s, how to share their faith, and then getting them out into Baltimore City to do that. One of the things we do is we press them into the things of the Lord. So we get them up, we have them having an hour quiet time in the morning, we give them good books, and this was our latest greatest. It's called Before You Open Your Bible, and honestly, it was an amazing thing walking through my backyard and through my house during Reach, and watching these young people with this book opened, reading it. And then they would stand up and give testimonies, and almost all of their devotional testimonies revolved around this book. It's the thesis is the 9 heart postures that we have to have before we open our Bibles. There's a lot of books that talk about how to study your Bible. This is what do we do with our heart before we even open it. I'm reading it for the second time during my devotional. Super easy read. Everybody ought to have it. If you raise your hand and you say you'll read it, I will give it to you. Ooh, 1, 2, and 3. Okay. I would like to take, thank you, Becky, for praying. I would like to take 2 minutes, and I would like you to pair up with somebody next to you, and let's just one more time pray that the Spirit of God would move, that our hearts would be opened, and that we would get what God has for us for this next, we don't have long, not even an hour, but for this next time. So if for 2 minutes you could find somebody and pray, that would be splendid. Thank you. Father God, it is an amazing thing that you keep us in such a place of desperately needing you. Thank you, Father God, that you are faithful. Thank you that you are good. Please pour your spirit out upon this time. Thank you, Father God, that I don't need to know the hearts of these women. Thank you that you know them thoroughly and completely and intimately, and you know exactly what they need. I pray, Father God, that you would speak to each heart here today in a way that brings profound change in their lives and glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. I put on the tables handouts. Hopefully I put enough handouts for everybody there. When Joel asked me if I wanted them put into the notebook, I emailed him back and I said no, because if you put them in the notebook, the ladies will go right to the practical tips, and I don't want them to do that. I want to be there to tell them that's a really bad idea. So, my request is that you keep all the notes are on the one side are scriptures, the scriptures that I'm going to be speaking from. I don't want you guys to get slowed down as I'm speaking by feeling like you need to write the scriptures down, or, oh, where was that scripture? So I have them all for you right there. On the other side are the practical tips and application. I had one gal at the last talk I did say, application, 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 application's everything. And that's true to an extent, but we're going to go through scriptural truth before we get to application. So keep the application side down, scripture side up. Feel free to take notes or not, depending on how you want to do it. I want to make myself really real to you. So let me give you a quick snapshot into my family. Chris and I met back in January of 2009. We're going on almost exactly now. We're coming up on our 10th year anniversary, which is amazing. Right? I'm not going to continue to move the podium. I'm going to get it just right and then leave it there. I had 10 children. My first husband was killed as he was out taking a walk. I was pregnant, 3 months pregnant with my 10th when that happened. 9 years as a single mom, and then I met Chris. Chris's first wife died of breast cancer back in 2006. They had 5 children. Our oldest kids introduced us, and we very quickly fell madly in love. So 3 years, or three, not years, 3 months of dating, courtship, 4 months of engagement, and then we were married after seven months of having known each other. So that was 10 years ago. We now have 25 grandchildren. We have a new grandbaby and a wedding coming up in October. And life is absolutely crazy. You know the game Whack-A-Mole? How those moles come up and you whack them down, and as soon as you get the moles down, more pop up? That's how life constantly feels. Like we're constantly playing Whack-A-Mole. Now my youngest is 18 years old. His name is Joel. And he just graduated from high school. So that, for me, marked the end of 34 years of homeschooling and 26 years of parenting minors. I think that's right. 464 months of parenting young people 18 and under. Huge change. The transition from all of that to where we are now has been God ordained and rocky, but I'm doing it, and there's joy in it. And for all of those years, 34 years, I can remember not sitting here, 10 of those years sitting here, but being in August and contemplating the year ahead, the school year ahead. and wondering what it was going to hold and being joyful in it and anticipating it, but at the same time a little nervous because I didn't know what it was going to hold. And I really want, my heart is to help you as you're sitting here in August of a new school year, contemplating everything that's coming. I want to help you in the middle of all of the emotions that are swirling right now. In public speaking, the experts, whoever they are, say that this is what you're supposed to do, three things. You're supposed to tell them what you're going to say, you're supposed to say it, and then you're supposed to tell them what you said. So this is the part where I'm going to tell you what I'm going to say. Actually, let me say it like this. At lunch today, Chris said, so what is your heartbeat for these women? What are you aching for them for? What's been your primary prayer for these dear ladies? And this is what I said. I said, I want them to ask themselves the question, do I really, like Linda said I do, operate a lot out of fear? And after asking the question, I want them to tell themselves, yes, they do. And then I want them to be prayerfully thinking by the Holy Spirit, how can I put into application the things that Linda said and the things that I just know by the Holy Spirit in a way that that becomes less and less of a reality in my life? I want to help you really badly with fear, because fear is a big deal. Chris and I have been remarking lately how amazing it is how quickly life can change, especially in a big family with 15 adults now. We can get a phone call telling us the best news 1 hour in the morning, and then by the afternoon, maybe have somebody knocking on our door telling us the absolute worst news. In seconds, it seems like life can precipitously change. And it makes sense when you think about it, because there is a lot in life that is uncertain. We can plummet from great heights to great lows at amazing speeds. And because of this, because we can't look into the future and know what's around the corner, one thing all women, and I really believe all women, battle to some degree is fear. So how do we navigate it? In the midst of this life where there is so much that can be fearful, so much that can be uncertain, how do we lay hold of solid grounding in a way that functionally changes the way we tackle life? Is this making sense? Are my questions making sense? Are you running it through the grid of your life and asking yourself, do I really navigate fearfully? I've gotten to the end of this talk several times and had women come up and say, I didn't think I did. But the more you talked, the more I realized I do much more than I thought I did. And so open your mind to that very probable reality. It's part of our humanity. So there's an answer to the question that can bring change for our good. And I want to, let's start here with Michaela. We'll go around and we'll read some of these scriptures, not all of them. I want to start in 1 Peter 3. And I want to go fairly quickly through the first, you see how I have little paragraphs on your notes? I want to go through fairly quickly the first couple of paragraphs. And I want to land on the third one, because I think that we miss the important thing in the passage by stopping too soon. So, Michaela, why don't you start with likewise, verse 1. So it's not so much what I say as what I do that will win my husband. And even though this is particularly referring to unsaved husbands, it's all husbands. And in reality, it's your children and your friends and your parents and your siblings and your church acquaintances as well. Lori, can you go ahead and read the next one? So it's a gentle and quiet spirit that's the source of good conduct, not nagging. Again, this is a hard thing, and we're going to talk about it some more. Could you read that last section? Okay. In that, from likewise all the way down to anything that's frightening, what would you say is the most important thing about a woman of God? Yes. In that passage from 1 Peter 3, which we're all very familiar with, what would you say is the most important thing about a woman of God? What's the most important thing, most important takeaway for us? Trust in the Lord. That's right. And where do you get that? From what part of the scripture?
In the very beginning, if you're going to be able to keep your mouth shut, you're going to be able to trust the Lord. Otherwise, you can't keep your mouth shut. You've got to stay
close. What's that? Can't hear.
Sorry.
Okay.
Okay. First verse. You can't keep your mouth shut if you're not trusting the Lord, because you got to say something if you're worried or afraid or need to protect your children or your family. You're going to say something if you don't trust the Lord.
Yes.
You can't possibly keep your mouth shut unless you're trusting the Lord.
Good.
And then the whole external appearance, the hidden person. If you're not trusting the Lord, you're going to be worried about what you look like and how you act and what people think about you. You're not going to be worried about what the Lord thinks about you.
Yes.
And then the last verse. If you're not trusting the Lord, you're going to walk in fear. Everything you're going to do is going to be a knee-jerk reaction and not something that is...
Excellent. And where we get this from the scripture is in verse 5. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves. The holy women hoped in God. And that hope has a strong sense of trusting. The holy women, like Abby said, trusted in God. And it was that trusting that allowed them to have a gentle and quiet spirit. It was that trusting that allowed them to adorn the gospel with their husbands in a way that didn't require a lot of talking. It was that trusting that allowed the holy woman of God to be like Sarah and not fear anything that's frightening. And think about this for a minute, because it's a remarkable passage. Think about Sarah. Think about the things that happened to Sarah and in front of Sarah that could have caused her to fear. We're not told, but she may very well have seen Abraham take Isaac away for human sacrifice. We're not told, but possibly. We are told for sure that not once but twice her husband gave her over into the harem of a king to save his neck. And we go, oh, maybe culturally that was a little more accepted. And I think, no, that was something that could have been really frightening. And it's amazing in this passage of scripture, because we're told that she was not fearful. And if we back up, like Abby said, to verse 5, we're told that the reason she wasn't fearful was because she put her hope in God. Sarah wasn't fearful of the circumstances around her because she stood on the truth of who she knew God to be. She chose to not be afraid. It's really quite remarkable. Sarah trusted that God was working for her good, even in the midst of circumstances that in the natural should have caused all kinds of fear. Fear's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's a big deal in the heart of any woman. Teaching godliness to our children is not the same as being godly. And fear is one of the biggest one of the biggest obstacles that we have in our pursuit of godliness. It locks us up. It grips us. It paralyzes us. It keeps us from standing on the truth. We are in the battle, a battle. The battle is always in the mind. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. I firmly believe that one major reason why women nag and control and micromanage and argue with their husbands and children is because they're fearful and they're not hoping in God. They're not trusting in God. At root level, we're scared. Or proud, but for this talk, we're talking about fear. Within the context of our ministry, I have opportunity to talk to a lot of women. And I have spoken with women whose husbands watch 60 to 70 hours of TV. Back then it was TV, now it's binging on Netflix. I've talked to women whose husbands have been out of work for more than they've been in work. Husbands who work 70, 80 hours a week. Husbands with severe addictions of one sort or another, husbands with same-sex attraction, on and on and on, and that's just husbands. There's also children and problems with children. There are a lot of things in life that are really scary, that make things totally feel out of control. And God may not guarantee us safety. He may not guarantee a pain-free existence. He may not guarantee comfort and ease.
Well, with that quote from A.W. Tozer, we're going to close out the broadcast for today. But we'll continue and hear the rest of the message from Linda next week. In the meantime, if you'd like to go to the resources tab of our website, wcfs.edu, you'll find our previous broadcasts from the radio program. Lots of great content there that you can download and share on social media. Any way that you can use this material to encourage others or your family, we really encourage you to do that. If you'd like to get in touch with us for any reason, you can give us a phone call at 301-241-2072, or you can email us at radio, that's R-A-D-I-O, at wcfs.edu. On behalf of everybody here at Family by Design and Wellspring Christian Family Schools, I'm Joel Fisher, hoping that you'll join us next week right here as we continue to help you treasure God's design for your family.
Thanks for spending your time with us today here at Family by Design. Join us every Sunday when we will continue this wonderful journey helping you to treasure God's design for your family.
'Cause the greatest gift the Father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.